included the extra cards I gave on Moxie Trust or not?
Leave that for Thursday.
Some people probably do.
Did most people do it? Or not? I mean, the Rambam and the Rambans, the extra. Okay, so let me give what that is now, quickly. I figured, I originally wasn't going to do as much of it, but since people asked me, a few people asked me a couple questions, I'll tell you the questions in just a minute. It occurred to me that, you know, based on the psukim, and there are two mitzvos in Rambam, it was Gerushin. You know, one is, you know, the mitzvah of Gerush, and the other is Maksim Kushaso. The role that it plays based already on what we've discussed. So maybe we'll just take a few more minutes. But just to do that, I already gave you, I know, the Gemara, right, on Yod Aleph Omid Beis. That's the main Gemara that we have to look at. Yivamas Yod Aleph Omid Beis. So if we don't get to this today, then let's, you know, try to take care of it on Thursday. We discussed Ramban Ala Torah. Rashi and the Ramban Ala Torah. We should say something about Rashi still, but the Ramban Ala Torah is very important. Just for your everybody's information, again, Aaron asked me a good question, and that is, you know, why the Ramban, you know, emphasizes Mises in his, you know, presentation. Number one, don't we paskin like the Chachamim, who say Echad Erisin V'Echad Nisuin? That's, I think, a very important point. Moreover, and this kind of Mark was making this ha'ara also, and that is, like, you know, whether or not you paskin, you know, like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, is that the name, and or the Chachamim in the sugya and Yavamos, namely whether or not Maser Gushoso is dafka la'achar nisuin or of the second marriage, or even la'achar erisin, seems itself to have impact on whether or not, you know, you would include the Iser of Sota under this rubric, you know, or not. In other words, from the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like if you hold like a Yosef ben Kippur, then there would be no need, you know, for Sota to be included. The Achar Asher Hutama would be explained sufficiently even without that. So it's not, you know, number one, the question is, like, why would you formulate something which is not lahalacha in your parish ala Torah? And number two is, you know, it seems to be very consequential, and especially since the Ramban himself is, you know, trying to explain this phenomenon of, you know, why or how it is that one pasuk can carry, you know, two different isurim. You know, if we were to take him literally, meaning if we were saying Itaska was like a Belsi Ben Kippur, which I don't think is the case, clearly it's not the case, then, you know, it would have undercut his whole explanation. So I think he doesn't pask in that way, and I think he does it, you know, it's almost like a filu, but I'll explain better, you know, when we, when we look more into the issue. By the way, the same phenomenon, I think I mentioned this to Aaron too, we find in the Rambam. Right, Josh? Number one in Sefer Mitzvos, and number two in the Koteret of Hilchos Geirushin, the Rambam says Nisuin. Even though in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Geirushin, what is it, Halacha Yud Beis? Yud Dalad? Yud Beis. Right? Yud Dalad is when he talks about the combination. But Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, the Rambam clearly says Echad Neirusin, Echad Nisuin. But in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Koteret, he mentions Minanusuin. So it's a strange phenomenon. You know, if we find it, you know, in more than one place, you know, then likely, you know, it's not just a coincidence that Yesh Dvar Begal. I don't think the Rambam's case is perfectly clear that he paskins like the Chachamim. There was obviously something, you know, either it's a, you know, a filu, you know, or a, you know, or something about the nature of Matzah and Kushaso that makes this like the acute case, even if there's an expansion, you know, to Eirus, which is what I really want to say. So, but I'll explain better, you know, when we get back to it. But just, you know, you should be aware of the phenomenon. So, so the Gemara Nid Aleph from Beis is very important in that Chakavataria. And then just to look at, again, I don't want to take so much time with it, but the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, what is it, Shin Nun Vav? Okay, which comes after Shin Nun Hei, by the way, Okay, I'm not just joking. You know, of course, Shin Nun Vav comes after Shin Nun Hey, but Shin Nun Hey, Kyle, do you know what it is? Shin Nun Hey is Lo Yia Kadesh and Lo Siya Kadesha, which the Rambam has a very unique, you know, view about. So just, you know, when you look at it, just, you know, be aware of that also. And it comes before Shin Nun Zayin. Again, I'm also not joking. But Shin Nun Vav and Shin Nun Zayin seem to have something. If you look at the in the Frankel Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, they catch it. You know, there seems to be something also interesting about them. Yeah, so either way, look at the language of the Rambam. You know, it's what we just discussed. In the Koteret, also, look at the Rambam in Perikid Aleph, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Yudbeis, and Yudalin. I'll also just add, and I'll elaborate all this, but you can see what direction I'm... You already know the direction I'm going, because I've already kind of presented why I think Matsu Gustavo is the crescendo here and how it's connected. But just also an added Ha'ara, and that is, in theory, the Rambam didn't even have to count... or classify Maksa Grushaso in Hilchos Geirushin. Right. Now again, don't get me wrong. You know, probably the more obvious place to put it is Hilchos Geirushin, and that's where he puts it, and you can't complain when somebody does something that's the path of least resistance. But since we're talking about the Rambam, at least I just want to make the point that depending on how you understand Maksa Grushaso, there could have been two other places to put it, and this is a little bit, you know, symptomatic of the bigger question. What are the other places that maybe could have been put, Yitzhak? Hilchos Ishus, exactly. Because who says that the problem, you know, is in the Geirushin? The problem, you know, very well may be in the second Kiddushin. Right. So it's at least a 50-50 proposition, maybe even more in some sense. You might have thought that this is a Kiddushin or an Ishus issue. So that's number one. I think that's really interesting. And remember that for the Rambam, Hilchos Ishus precedes Hilchos Geirushin in Sefer Nashim. So it's not as if, you know, he put it in the first place either. So I think it's really consequential. Again, there are two mitzvos in Hilchos Geirushin. One is Geirushin and the other is Masu Grishasa. The alternative would have been Hilchos Isurabiya, right? Because, you know, it's Michaibe, you know, Lavin. You know, and seems like there is Malkus. And especially, you could have argued, just like you could argue that this is a Kiddushin or Nisuin problem, not so much a Geirushin problem, so too you could argue that it's, you know, primarily an Isurabiya problem. You know, and especially if you think that it's strongly connected to Sota, right? You might think, you know, that it's an Isurabiya problem. Although maybe Sota isn't any Surabiya problem either, right? So, you know, we'll get back to that point. But in the end of the day, the fact that the Rambam put it in Geirushin is actually very interesting. At the same time, he put it in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Geirushin, right? What is Perek Yud Aleph about? Stephen? Let's have to look at the beginning, maybe. Are you?
You can marry?
Kind of. Which, again, is interesting for Hilchos Geirushin. How does it begin? Exactly. That you shouldn't marry, all things being equal, a ketana. Right? And then it talks about chareshes. And this is the parak where he talks a lot about miun. That's a very interesting place, you know, to be discussing Maksim Bishasa. And for better or for worse, even though it's the only other mitzvah in the whole section, which it is, right? So you would have, you know, thought that it would get its own, you know, beginning of a parak, but it's really muvla, you know, right smack in the middle. It's parak yadala palacha yud beis yud gimel yadalad. So it's quite interesting that it's not in Hilchos Ishus. It's quite interesting that it's not in Isurabiya, especially given the Sota part. And it's quite interesting, you know, that it is where it is, you know, in Perek Yud Aleph and in the middle of Perek Yud Aleph. And then, in addition to that, there's this question about, you know, the Nisuin and the Arison, you know, paralleling that of the Ramban. And then you have the Rambam's discussion in Halacha Chaf Dalid. Is it Chaf? I'm sorry, Aleph Yud Dalid. Is that right? Is Yud Aleph Yud Dalid? Is that right?
Yeah.
Where you have Bichlal Labzeh, and we need to understand that the Rambam does seem to, you know, does the Rambam count, you know, Sota separately or not? Shai.
It doesn't seem like it.
He doesn't count it separately in Minyan Tayag.
Yeah.
Okay. The question is there any dilution? Like, how are we to take the fact that this, like I said, with we were talking about the Ramban or we were discussing Gemara, how are we to take the fact, you know, that this, you know, one pasuk is carrying these two different lavin? In general, like, there are two approaches you could take to that. You know, one is they may look like two, but they're really one. You know, and obviously that's kind of where we're going, certainly with the second view of the Ramban. You know, so that, you know, obviously is very important if it's true. The other possibility is that, you know, it's more along the lines of a classical lav shebeklolos. Although, again, there are two types of lav shebeklolos according to the Rambam. This is what the Rambam discusses, you know, in the Sharashim. Shoresh tests in particular, you know, the Rambam has two types of love, and one is what we'll call a love klali. This is, you know, people have noticed this, like, you know, things like lifnei v'lasitei michshol, you know, where there's not a specific surah or maisa, you know, but there's like a very broad, you know, theme. That's why I'm calling it a love klali. He calls it, they're both love shabbat klalos, but I just think the word klalos in the Rambam in that Shoresh and in his general perspective has two opposite meanings, but probably there's a common denominator with the opposite meaning too. One is lav klali, and the other one is lav hakolel, you know, where you have, you know, distinct lavim, you know, that really have nothing to do with each other, except that, you know, they're all conveyed by the same pasuk, you know, sochal al adam, right? You know, so. Those are the two paradigms. So, you know, when you have this kind of phenomenon, you know, are we talking about a lav klali or are we talking about a lav klali? Those are two opposite solutions, or something in between, which isn't even so klali. So, this is a question. And more particularly, the question is, and this is what I wanted you to look at before we discuss it just a little more, there seems to be a, the Rambam discusses this problem, or it seems to make reference to it, also in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah. Right, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chav Beis, the Nosei Kelim, in both places, try to square, you know, the Rambam Shita. You have just a, again, we'll examine it more on Thursday when we, you know, when you've had a chance to look at it better. You have the language just in Aleph Chav Beis.
Yeah.
Amakanim
leishto v'nistera ubo yirach behed shenit meis.
That's what the Rambam says. But what does that have to do with what I just said? Ah. What does that have to do with it, Yitzhak? It's tricky. You did, yeah? What do you think? I mean, it doesn't say anything about what we're talking about. Right? So what does that mean? Akiva. Are you? Gabe?
There might be an overlap between a Kohen and our case because of both cases where it's Tofes but it's still an Isser. Because
both cases are?
Where the Kedushin is Tofes but there's still an Isser. Like,
I hear that. That's not really the main point here. Kyle?
Maybe it's that different labim, essentially.
It's meaning what the key thing is what the Rambam doesn't say. Like, you know, you could say, oh, he just quoted the wrong Rambam, you know. This has nothing to do with our topic.
The Ravid points
to that. Correct. Well, Shai, what does the Ravid say?
Well, it's not laloka mishum zona, ela mishum tuma.
Yeah. He said, what do you mean zona? Tuma. So all this, so what the Nosa Kalim discuss in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bi Alach Chapeis is why doesn't the Rambam invoke the pasuk of Acharei Asher Hu Tama, meaning this pasuk that it shares with Matzah Drushaso, which he himself says refers to the Iser of Sota. Why is he insisting that the only issue is one of Zona, not of Sota, not of Tuba? Correct? That's right. So if you look at the Magid Mishnah there, and the Kesef Mishnah there, they weigh in. But the bigger discussion, it's the Magid Mishnah there, and the bigger discussion is in the Kesef Mishnah and in the Lechem Mishnah here. Meaning here, meaning Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Geirushin, Halakha Yud Dalid, because the Rambam seems to explicitly say that there's Malkus for, you know, Sota. But the way the Magid Mishnah understood Perek Aleph Halakha Chapeis and the Rambam's omission is that there really is no Malkus. So is there Malkus? Is there no Malkus? And does that have anything to do with sharing, you know, with Matzu Gushaso and being allowed to Shibaklamas? Okay? So you can see that that's the relevance. So that's very important. So I just want to look at those. So look at the Gemara, the Koteret, the Sefer Mitzvos, the Kesef Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, Magid Mishnah, in Isurei Bia Aleph Chapeis, and especially Yud Aleph Yud Dalid. And in light of that, you know, also to think about the Minchas Chinuch questions that I alluded to the other day, but I want to expand on just a little more, namely, is it Dafka Kideshu Baal? What about Kidesh Velo Baal? Okay. Something to think about. Minchas Chinuch says, oh, it's a Davar Pashut. They don't even mention that, in my opinion. The problem is in Sefer Mitzvot. That's what the Frankel Rambam Tziyunim, you know, points out just factually. And if so, like, what are the stakes of that? The background for that is the Rambam Perek Tezvav Hilchos Yisurei Bia Halacha Beis, I believe, and you know the famous tshuva that he wrote to the Chachmei Luniel. So again, I'm just going to do this very, very quickly. I'm giving you, you know, not only the Mar Makomos, but kind of to what to look at, so we can do it, you know, more quickly. Obviously, what I'm really interested in is, you know, a snapshot of what I just, you know, structurally just pointed out. Namely, is this an Ishus din, a Geirushin din, a Isurei Bia din? How does it stack up with other Chai Ve'Lavin? How does the relationship between Machzor Gushoso, Mina Erusin and Mina Nesuin, how does that really fit in with Sota? Okay. So those are some of the Rambams to look at. And on the Ramban side, I think I already mentioned this. Of course, the Ramban Allah Torah we saw already, and Aaron's question is good. The Ramban does count it separately. I think I already mentioned this, but we didn't read it yet. And that is in Mitzvah Slo, the Hashmatos, to say for Mitzvah Slo Sase, Tes Vav. The Losachti Esa Aretz, he also relates to, I think I did mention this already, in the end of Shoresh Hay, the very end of Shoresh Hay, of the Rambam. The first example the Rambam brings in Shoresh Hay, when the Rambam says you should not count Ta'amim as this independent mitzvah. That's when the Torah tells you that something is Asur, right, or Mechuyah, and then it also says a reason for it, or stakes of it, like the Losachti Esa Aretz, says the Rambam. You don't count that in the mitzvahs. That's a prat in the mitzvah itself. The first example that he gives is from this pasuk, Lo Sachti Esa Aretz. The Ramban, in the last thing that the Ramban says in Shoresh Hay, in response to the Rambam, is to get back to that first example, and he takes issue. And again, he kind of refers to it also in the end of Lo Sase, completely after Yud Zayin, you know, he has another reference, you know, maybe to counting Lo Sachti, you know, as Aret. So you should look at the Rambam and Rambans, and just very quickly also, the Minchas Chinuch has an interesting discussion about Chatzi Shivcha, you know, Chatzi Baschorin, you know, which Minchas Chinuch is very into. in a big way. Whether or not it, you know, the din of maksa grishasa applies to that, you know, or not. Okay, so these are things to look at maksa grishasa. We're going to do them quickly. We already know what we're looking for. We just want to get the facts down and make a few other ha'aras. Okay, so before we get to all of that, I do want to continue what we were discussing. Firstly, a comment that was made to me after the shir. I'm trying to remember by who, maybe by Zach, maybe by somebody else, I don't remember. And that is, I mentioned that, you know, there are gimel d'drachim of kiddushin, and it seems like, you know, b'shita, there's only one derech of gerushin. And I was suggesting that that subtle truth, like, is an important, you know, facet, and, you know, is symptomatic, let's say, of the difference of creating a chalos and, you know, dismantling it or being matir it or creating the, you know, the anti-chalos, whatever you want to call it, etc. What I did not mean to suggest, but some people, you know, may have confused or just hara, and that is, I'm not suggesting that there aren't different components in Geirushin. And I'm also not suggesting that, you know, maybe given those different components, you know, that there might even be, you know, types. There might be consequences, nafkamina, you know, to what you accentuate, you know, in a get. So, for example, I made references, I'm going to see some marmakomos about it, but the idea that there, you know, is at least are two components or two impacts, you know, on the Geirushin process. One, of course, is the Iser to the Baal, or at least, you know, the end, the termination of the Hefter Labaal. And the other is the Hefter Lashuk, or the termination of the Iser Lashuk, okay, if you want to put it that way. You know, whether or not these are ever separable components, which one of these is the dominant component if there's only, you know, one integrated, you know, mechanism, or if there are two, you know, which one is dominant, or whether or not you can ever separate them, you know, and accomplish the get in different ways, that remains an open question. That's on two ways to do Geirushin. Those are, you know, ways within doing Geirushin, you know, I don't mean like Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. I mean, you know, you always need a Sefer, and it has to be Dover HaKores, you know, and it has to be Lishma, you know, and it has to be Venasam Biyada, you know, but, you know, there might be ways still to accentuate or to separate, you know, aspects of the get. And that, of course, is relevant to things like Reach HaGet, right, which is a Miktsas Get. The question is whether it's Daraisa and what it refers to. Or a phenomenon, I don't know if I mentioned it out loud or not, but we discussed it very briefly, Mark and I, right? The phenomenon of?
Geirushin Me'ava.
Of Geirushin Me'ava, which is a very kind of shocking, you know, idea. And the question is how it's out there, and the question is how, you know, mainstream or peripheral, you know, it is. Like, you know, let's say a person is Megarish Hasishto, you know, not because, you know, Matzaba Ervas Davar, you know, and the Son Allah, etc., but because, you know, he, out of love and affection, out of concern for her well-being. Let's say he's ill, you know, and he's worried about, you know, Shalotipo Kamiyavam, or, you know, person goes off to war, you know, and he's worried about the problem of Aguna. So some poskim, you know, think that there's something called Get Me'ava. Now, is that more than, that's relevant on, you know, on several levels. One is, like, you know, if there is such a thing as Mitzvah Lagarish on any level, you know, is that only when there's, like, you know, so we're going to get to in a moment, you know, terrible, you know, behavior and clear grounds, because Geirushin, all things being equal objectively, is antithetical to Ishus and Ava, you know, and therefore we're talking about, you know, a mitzvah or grounds, you know, that are rooted in that, you know, misconduct or that improper behavior. Or what about a situation where the guy is motivated out of, as I say, you know, concern and affection? You know, he's going off to war, or he's ill, or, you know, things of that sort. Would that ever be mitzvah lagarsha? That's one question. But the bigger question, of course, is, you know, whether there are nafkamina, whether the fact, you know, that he, you know, is mostly trying to, you know, free her, you know, what impact, you know, would that, you know, would that have in terms of yibum? It possibly in terms of being kind of in a limbo and distinguishing between, you know, the matir part and the osir part. So this is a famous view of the Labush that is quoted, and it's also quoted in other places. And as I say, the question is how mainstream it is. Rabbi Yochanan from Shapurlo and said from Mitzvah Sadia, when we discuss it, we'll look into it in detail, has pages and pages and pages on, like he's really tremendously like enamored, you know, with this, you know, with this idea of get me Abba, and like is convinced that this is a very mainstream, you know, view. Like it's a fascinating phenomenon. Whereas I think most people default will assume that either there's no such thing, not the fact. I mean, that a person might give a get me Abba, you know, is obviously something that the Gemara speaks about. But the idea that that is a different category and that there are nafkamina, that is not a simple matter at all. So we'll have to discuss that along with Riach HaGet, you know, things of that, and Chutz. Now again, that's not comparable to Ha'isha Niknes Begimel Drachim, the Kesef Pishtar Ubibiyah. That is more, you know, the method of get has components. Can you break down those components? Which one is more dominant? Are they separable? If they are separable, like, you know, can you have a miktsas gerushin, etc.? Just like you might have a question, you know, about a miktsas, you know, ishus or a miktsas, you know, something else. Okay, so that's something to look out for and to be aware of as well. Okay, so before we read the Shakuntarya, which I want to start now, just to go through it first. You know, I just wanted to go back to the point of the psukim, just very quickly to make the points that I, you know, was alluding to. Okay, but with regard to these idea of components, I've zeroed in on the question of heter and iser, and ava and sinna. But the possibility also that there could be other things. This is what Zach mentioned to me about. Who mentioned me about shlichus?
I think we were talking about it.
What?
I think we were talking about it.
Oh, we were talking about it. Ah, okay. So the idea that, you know, get al yidei shliach might emphasize different things, or get through nesina as opposed to get through a kind of a kinyan, a more traditional kinyan, that those also could be. Those are different. That's a breakdown. But again, it's not. I'm just still suggesting it's not comparable, you know, to totally different, you know, derech. That's like pratim and components, you know, within the single methodology of get to accentuate the matir part, the kinyan part, the unraveling part, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But that's also something, you know, to be looking at. Let's say a get bebezdin and a get shalom bebezdin. You know, if you know, you don't take the two other views, which we still need to examine, one of which is there's no chalos bezdin in a get, you don't need it, and even if you have it, it doesn't do anything. The other being, you know, that a get needs a bezdin. What about a middle position of, you know, there being, you know, the option, you know, of a get bebezdin, you know, and what would that, you know, impact. So there are, I didn't mean to say that, you know, how you implement the get, you know, whether it's in any of these ways, you know, the bezdin, the shlichus, the type of kinyan or not kinyan, the ava, the sinna, the reach haget, etc. I don't mean that there aren't, you know, ways to break down and therefore, you know, end up being like different configurations of get. I really meant more specifically as a contrast to ishus, you know, that still the derech gerushin, especially relative to kiddushin, you know, is singular. You know, there's a single root with components, you know, that can end up engendering, you know, different status in nafkamina, as opposed to what you have in gerushin. Okay, having said that, so just just very quickly to go to the psukim without, you know, learning the whole, you know, masechta through the, you know, through the Torah Shebitza. But getting back to it for a second, you did, yes, you have the pasuk with you. So it's ki yikach ish isho va'alo. We've talked about that a little bit, right? V'hayam lo timtzachein be'inav. So that we're going to discuss more fully. He's already the, what would you call that? V'im lo timtzachein be'inav ki matza ba'er vazdavar. That is what? The ki yikach ish isho is the background. That's the kiddushin. Then comes, you know, more background, but it's more than, maybe more than background. That is, hayam lo timtzachein be'inav ki matza ba'er vazdavar. How would you characterize that part of the pasuk?
I mean, I think it could be characterized either as some sort of, it could be enough of a reason to allow you to do the gerushin itself, or it could be the mechayev mitzvah.
Okay, so either as a, this is correct. This is what we're going to, you know, look at, start looking at the Gemara for. V'hayam lo timtzachein be'einav ki matza ba'er vazdavar is, you know, also background, but not the background of the kiddushin, the background of why the kiddushin is soured and why we're involved in the get. So it's basically justification or the rationale behind, you know, get. Now, whether it rises to be, you know, a mitzvah lagarish, if there is such a thing at all, or, and you know, and what would that be? I'd have to identify the behavior. What is and what is not under that rubric? Do you need, that's question number one. We have two things, timtzachein be'einav. You know, and ervas davar. Obviously, ervas davar is catastrophic, all things being equal, at least, you know, if we interpret it, you know, literally. We'll see even then there's some question how literal. Lo timtzachein be'einav, you know, much more questionable. And that we're going to see basically a little bit, Shammai Rabbi Akiva, weighing in on exactly that. So, number one, what are the rationales? But the question of whether or not, you know, if you don't have a rationale, is it usur? If you do have a rationale, or a certain rationale, is it a chiyu? Right? Is it always a rishus in either direction? You know, is it ever usur? Is it sometimes mechuyev? And, you know, one of those, you know, conditions. Is there even a sense that, you know, if you didn't have the proper justification, like it wouldn't work? That would be very radical. Not just that you're not justified and you would be in violation of something, never mind you wouldn't be fulfilling a mitzvah, but is it, you know, is there a possibility that the get, you know, would not be chal if you didn't have, you know, the proper justification? It would be invalid. Okay, so kosov sefer kris, I'm sorry, the lo matzachein be'einav matzah ba'er vasdavar is on the motivation side, but that relates to iser, mitzvah, even, you know, questions of hagdara of the ishus. Then comes what? Keep going. Then comes what we called, you know, what Akiva correctly the other day called like the protocol or the, you know, the definition of Gerushin, which is repeated twice, right? V'kasav l'sefer krisis v'nasim b'yadav v'shulchan v'beiso, which again is repeated in Pasuk Gimel, v'kasav l'sefer krisis v'nasim b'yadav v'shulchan v'beiso. The effect of, you know, repeating that Pasuk, as I was suggesting, kind of puts it all in quotation mark. This is how you do again. Okay. But each of these words, we're just going to spend, I already did, but I'm going to just elaborate a little more. We're going to spend a minute or two, a couple of minutes, just, you know, kind of elaborating them. Each of these requirements of the protocol are, you know, is a basis for tilim, you know, shel halachos. But again, just kiluye milsa of what happens to be the mesorah of how to give a get, or, you know, more appealing if it's true, a pattern, right, which accentuates that, you know, the nature of Gerushin, you know, in its unique expression, its unique halachic expression. And probably those could be, you know, those could, you know, relate to certain elements. So let's talk about them very quickly. So the first one is, you did, yeah?
V'kasav.
And you said v'kasav law. You know, from a Trump point of view, you're certainly right. So, and maybe you're right, you know, even conceptually, but the first is the kasa. Okay, so let's just talk about that. The fact that This is requires ksiva, not amira. Obviously, that's significant. Not all halachic processes, you know, do. We will see, if we haven't seen it already, that, you know, when it comes to Benoach, for example, right, as Yushalmi, you know, underscores, you don't need ksiva for get, necessarily. Right? You can have a verbal, you know, gerushin. You can end the relationship, you know, in a verbal way. So what would you say is just offhand, we're thinking aloud, you know, you have to learn, obviously, the details, you know, in order to really speak authoritatively about these things, but you don't have to freeze your mind, and you're always allowed to, you know, start, you know, wondering. You know, intelligent speculation can be very, even a priori, can be very helpful, you know, in being sensitive, you know, and finding things. So what might be a reason that you would need ksiva as opposed to, let's say, just amira? Yeah.
All right.
Excellent. So one factor could be raya, and it's certainly true in general that shtaros serve that purpose. Laman yamdu yamim narabin, right? The psukim in Yirmiyah. We'll talk about that. And the idea of raya in shtar, you know, aside long as being the mechanism or method of the kinyan, is the huge, huge topic. You think these are big topics. Of, you know, of shtaros, of Eide Chasima and Eide Mesira, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. So is the requirement of ksiva connected to raya, that the get is something that, you know, it's not enough that there be a kinyan, it has to be a, the raya shabbos is part of the kinyan, if you will, because, you know, it's about her license, her change of status, you know, and therefore, you know, the capacity to produce it isn't just like maybe is more than simply a separate Eitzah Tova, right, you know, which might be in Dine Mamanis, for example, Leman Yamdu Yamim Rabin, but maybe when it comes to something like Geirushin and their change from Chalos, maybe it's a T'nai in Chalos Ishus that, you know, there has to be. So we're not sure. How far do you go with the Raya part? Of course, the word Bekasav already, we'll discuss this in the beginning of the first parak, is subject to the actual debate of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, you know, not coincidentally, right? Namely, does the kasav mean the kasav, ksivas haget, or does it mean the kasav, right, the chasimas ha'edim? And is that difference a quantitative one, you know, just a factual one, or is that a difference in the whole way that you look at shtaros, or more specifically, gittin? Okay. So the kasav, so one possibility is about raya. The other possibility is, what else would you say? And they're not mutually exclusive, yeah.
It would lower the boy's choices and raise an individual's threshold for what we're going to divorce one for, meaning...
Say one second?
It would wait. If they immediately were just able to throw one out, their wife out, you know...
You mean it slows down, it's like a, like a get mekushar kind of a thing.
It would lower divorce rates because, you know, what you're willing to divorce someone for... A day later, it's something that you would actually, you know, be angry about. But if it was just in the heat of the moment, you're upset about it.
Great, that's a great point. So the ksiva could also be a way of, you know, just like ksuva is shaloi kal be'enav lahotzia, to give you pause, you know, in a moment of anger, or, you know, you shouldn't just be temperamental and do something, you know, crazy. It should really reflect your larger, true, genuine feelings. And then the whole sugya at the end of Bava Basra, about a Kohen, there was a demand for get mekushar, because, you know, since the divorce of a Kohen, you know, is more irrevocable, right, because there's no heter maksu grushasa for a Kohen, you know, even on the permitted maksu grushasa, as we know. So, you know, they wanted, that's a dindurabanan, but you're saying the kasav, to begin with, is also a way, in addition to the raya shabo, it's also a way of, you know, creating, you know, more of a requirement of das or slowing the process. Okay, that's great. That's true. What else, Akiva? Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Very good.
Also, I mean, the idea if you don't want to get to be so tenuous, or you think that it's a very rigid process, then, you know, writing something, especially on a Kinyan level, is much more formal.
Yeah. In terms of formalizing, as opposed to just expressing what you think, I would say on two levels. When you write something or forced to write something, you know, that implies a certain more formalistic, you know, process, which, you know, will be reinforced by other things, as we'll get to. Not only that, but that formalism and the, you know, the idea that there will be a raya, and the idea that this kind of is, you know, reflects certain breaks on the process, and therefore kind of highlights a more committed approach. You know, all of that also, you know, lends a greater confidence that there's the level of das, you know, required. Not just, you know, how quick he is, you know, but also the quality of his das. So again, when you have to write something and you have to write it in a particular way, you know, all of these. So these are all elements. Again, in halacha, what else needs ksiva? You know, and the effect of ksiva. Ksiva, say, for Torah, we'll get that in a second. You know, when do you need ksiva? When you don't. You know, when ksiva is simply an expression of dibur. So the kasav is very, as we'll see, for the Rambam, udi'imei, you know, the mitzvah part of gerushin focuses on the ksiva. You know, and that based on Chazal, but Rambam projects it as the mitzvah part. He doesn't, as we'll see, emphasize the mitzvah so much on the circumstances, you know, which are, oh, this is a good time to divorce. It's divorcing the derech ksiva, as we'll see. And that very parallels kind of getting married, you know, b'derech, you know, erusin kodesh b'suta. But we'll get to that. Yeah.
Could we suggest shlichus as another reason as to why it's a kasav, not necessarily?
What do you mean by shlichus?
The fact that you need a shaliach
for ksivas haget. Yeah. Well, that would depend on for kasav or b'chasam. But we'll get to the shlichus parts. I hear that. Okay. So that's ksiva. The law, which you did originally had together with the ksiva, and which very well may be, what does the law imply?
Lishma.
So the idea of lishma in get, it's not only in get. You know, we also have a discussion about, you know, kiddushin, shtar kiddushin, v'yatzav ha'isa. You know, there's a question also of shtar shichror. Whatever you think about shtar get, the question of shtar shichror and shtar kiddushin, and the, you know, less connected shtar and dine mamonis have to be considered. But the idea of lishma in get is certainly not obvious at all. We normally associate lishma, we'll talk much, much, much more about this. What do we normally associate lishma with?
Korbanos.
Would you say?
Korbanos.
Korbanos, excellent. Good. Dabra Shabikdusha. What else? Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, stam. Yeah. That's already an added nicety. That's certainly not, you know, mitoch shelo lishma, you know, ba lishma. But okay, but you know, that's a different kind of lishma. But the lishma that we're talking about in terms of, like, you know, investing lishma into something is an aspect of karbanos for sure, and it's an aspect of stam and so on. Does that fit to Gerushin or not? What would you say? Mark, what do you think? Are you comfortable with Gerushin, you know, being, you know, held to the standard of Sefer Torah and a Korban?
I mean, if we're suggesting that Lishma is needed to form a chafesh al mitzvah or a halachic object,
so is it all halachic objects? I'm just saying, you could have said, oh, if you want to, you know, create a, if you want to either create a cheftza shel mitzvah, right, or certain processes of mitzvah or kedusha themselves, you know, require a certain, you know, lishma. Matzah's lishma might be quite different, but you're right, something could compare. Matzah lishma may be more on the shmira part than on, you know, than on the Cheftza Shel Matzah itself. But right, that is something to look at. All these things are things to look at. But what I would say is, it's fair to say that on the surface, it's a strange, you know, the get, which is a legal document requiring Lishma, you know, seems quite different then Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Korban, maybe even, again, Matzah is more on the Shmira side, that certainly has no applicability to Geirushin. Yeah?
Like Gabe Morgan's saying, if you're doing that connection, but he's sort of saying it's really the opposite. You're undermining the Rosh Hashanah, you're not creating the Rosh
Hashanah. Okay. Okay. But again, you know, and therefore you, that's an irony or that's like an explanation?
It's certainly ironic.
It's certainly ironic. I don't think it explained, because usually we would think that lishma is a high level required to accomplish, to create transcendence, you know, you need lishma, right? Again, whether it's in the maisa, whether it's in the chefza. Oh. So I think that there really is, and yet the Gemara does discuss the relationship between lishma of get and other lishmas. You know, the question is, what does that prove? It doesn't mean that it's the same in all respects, or the same mechayev, it just may mean that there's still a common denominator. Where does the Gemara discuss this? In the beginning, actually, of Zvachim, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the Gemara in the beginning of Zvachim talks about the question of stama lishma, right? And stama lishma is an issue in Karbanos, and it's also an issue in Gittin. The Gemara tries to invoke the sugya about Gittin, you know, and apply it to Karbanos, and then the Gemara makes a distinction. Question is, what are the distinctions? You know, are they, like, you know, more technical, or are they fundamentally explaining that you just can't, you know, that's exactly the point. They're not the same. You know, they're not the same in this respect. So I always try to explain that, of course there is an overlap, meaning the content of Lishma, you know, called Chetzah Shel Lishma, you know, is certainly overlaps, and therefore you could have the discussion, unless the Gemara is completely rejecting. It doesn't seem that. But the goal of Lishma is different in Get than it is in Stam and Matzah and so on. And that is that in Get, it's more about like negating, you know, that there's like a generic Get, or like you can have a factory, you know, ordered, you know, Get, like somebody, you know, en masse produces, you know, Gittin with every name under the book, you know, and they're just, you know, ready to go. Now, again, to delay the process, to, you know, for all the reasons that we discussed, you know, that you need Ksiva, which is, again, what you need to do, when you did say Vakasav law, I was saying, you know, if there's Vakasav, and then there's the law. But not really, maybe the law is really part of the Vakasav. So the Lishma is part of the Ksiva, you know, here too. But the way I understand it is, and we'll discuss it as we get through some of these cases of the year, you have to, again, yeah, the details are very, very critical. And that is that the Lishma is a way of putting a personal, like, stamp or imprimatur, you know, on every get. Meaning there's no such thing as a, you know, factory-ordered, you know, get. Every get relates to a particular ishus, which is a very special bond. And of course, you know, there are generic components, but how you create those bonds, you know, what the, you know, nature and character of the relationships ideally should be. But there's also an understanding that they're both, that they're highly individualistic, you know, as well. And therefore, the idea that the kasa, it's ksiva and it's lishma, and you require, you know, that kind of specific focus, that part of the matir, if you will, or part of the personal side of it, is something that needs to be, you know, pursued. Okay, so that's the kasav lishma. What else? What are we up to? I'm sorry, yeah?
So how that relates to Megillah Sota and the child of whether that needs lishma?
Megillah Sota is another interesting question.
Right. So,
Again, that also, number one, there's an aspect of Chefza Shel, you know, Kisvei HaKodesh, you know, there. But I think that too is a very, has a personal element, you know, to it. So we'll discuss that.
Like in a sense, it also like hits on all three.
Yeah.
It's like sort of Kach and sort of Ishus and sort of
the Megillah Sota.
Yeah.
And I think that gives it like a very unique character, which it has. It's like a very fascinating, you know, category. Yeah. But I think it's a good hara. Yeah. So the Kasav Law, which is Lishma, we'll talk about. And then it's Sefer Krisus. So the Sefer part. Again, you can even, part of these things, Rambam, you know, himself develops in the Asara Devarim, you know, which he begins the Hilchos Geirushin with. So what we're doing here is, you know, we're, you know, following a good, you know, Masorah, basically. So the safer part is, you know, number one, It's if you say something is not just, you know, a requirement of ksiba, but it's a sefer, you know, that increases, you know, the formality, you know, of it. Like, you know, there's something called a Megillah, there's something called a sefer. A get is a sefer teruchin. But the Gemara also says, you know, that the word sefer teaches us the requirement of, you know, again, there's a certain integrity to a sefer. Sefer echad, not multiple svarim, but also sfiras dvarim, which is that there has to be a certain clarity and self-sufficiency, right, to a get. How that relates to what we call muchach mitocho, which we'll discuss a lot, in shtaros in general, especially for, according to the Manamar Edekasima Karsi, it seems like, you know, it's not so different, but it's an added level or layer. The Ramban in particular, where he talks about shemos beget and other things, you know, expands on this concept of sefer sfiras dvarim, the need for it to be, and again, it has to do with raya, sfiras dvarim, you know, it has to be clear mitocha, you know, the text itself, otherwise it's not a very good raya, if it's dependent or contingent upon, you know, other things to prop it up. But I think it means, again, it's part of its formalism, and it's also part of the matir, you know, I think, aspect, you know, of get. The fact that it needs a certain higher, you know, not only formal status, but level of clarity. Yeah. What's the name again?
How would the personal nature of the get be affected by the fact that we loosen the Lashmar requirement because it went to Megayish Yishas Havira?
Say that one more time.
How would the personal nature of the get and the Lashmar requirement be affected by the fact that we actually loosen it?
You're talking about the Gemara in Zvachin. Right, meaning because the whole point, that's another way of saying, you know, that, you know, that this is a highly, that, you know, that may itself be a way of saying, you know, that, you know, this is nobody else's business. This is like a domain that is exclusive to the husband and the wife. We'll discuss it more, but that's kind of, that could be exactly what that means, you know, not just an alumdina level, you know, but like, you know, this is nobody else's bylus or concern, you know. Okay, yeah. So the question of sfiras dvarim, the safer part, the clarity part, all of this, you know, is critical. The krisus part has to do with also, you know, with the matir. The Gemara discusses the problem of chutz or the problem of tnai. The details of that are very important. The idea that there would be, you know, a selective, you know, get, you know, that wouldn't, you know, be matir everybody, or that there would be a remaining hold of the husband over the wife, you know, you know, which kind of, you know, continues to give him exercise, you know, authority or bylus over her. So any kind of limitation in the heter or continuation of the bylus is something that is fundamentally problematic. You can understand that independently. And it might even be true if we were to perceive the, you know, the problematic features of being of not being fully co-res, you know, in a purely technical way. In other words, let's say I made some tanai, you know, that continued to haunt her or to, you know, to commit her, but it wasn't really something that was perceived as, you know, like a chisaron or a shior, you know, shin yud vavresh, you know, in the get itself. But nonetheless, you know, this ongoing, you know, the break has to be, you know, absolute. Just like the bond has to be absolute, the break has to be absolute. You know, that could be a factor in its own right, but it's also a factor that has to do with the matir, you know, and the relationship of the components to each other. So the sugya of what's considered a problem of being kores b'neon leveina is a little complicated, but, very, very crucial. So you can see that the kasav law, sefer, krisus, is very important, along with the comment of the Balaturim that the other, that this phrase is used, you know, connecting the Rabbonu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, I never wrote you a sefer krisus, obviously furthers that. Then comes the nasan, biyada. So the biyada part is, you know, birshusa. Whether or not there's any nafkamina between geirushin, literally begufa or biyadayim, as opposed to birshusa, similar to the question whether, you know, shlichus, that's an extension of that. What about kotzer? What about shliach? Are these, you know, different in any kind of a way? Obviously, v'nasa biyada implies, again, a very personal, direct kind of a bond. Another intriguing question which it raises is the question of v'nasa. So in addition to the question whether biyada birshusa and whether there are differences between actual yada and rishusa, the word v'nasa itself is an interesting usage. This, of course, is the famous discussion of the Ksos, which we'll, you know, have an opportunity to analyze. But we've mentioned it, and I think we mentioned it in our last couple of shiurim also, in Vav Basra. The Ksos is of the opinion, right, that Geirushin, you know, doesn't need a kinyan. It needs a nesina, based on this formulation. At three main rayas, well, we'll get a chance to read it. One is the fact that Geirushin is bal korcha de isha. He thought that kinyanim can't be bal korcha. That's an interesting additional Ksos assumption. The second one was the fact that get can be written bi'isuria na. Again, that's also controversial, whether a regular kinyan, you know, can take place, you know, with the use of isuria na. And the third, of course, is what he starts with, and that is a question of we find that in Gittin we sometimes say Gito v'yada boin kiyachad. You know, we're not concerned about the catch 22 of that. In other words, you know, how can she be mekabeles her get, or how can, you know, she be mekabeles a get through a chatzer, you know, if he, you know, is the baili, you know, by virtue of her status of his wife. So the Ksos very brilliantly suggests that there's no problem of gito biyado boin kiyachad, you know, unless there's a need for a kinyan. We have a kinyan, then that's a catch 22. That's a problem. But if you'd only need a nesina, then the anticipation of the effect can already, you know, allow, you know, for the action. Very fascinating view. Then, of course, the question is there gita v'yodim v'horim kiachad in kiddushin? The equivalent, it would be gita, obviously. Let's say shtar kiddushin. Is there, you know, gito v'yado boin kiachad in shichror evan, right? All those kind of questions. What about if you don't need a kinyan and you only need the sina? So does that explain, well, what about dalad amos? You know, the Gemara seems to say in Bav Metzia that dalad amos, in the beginning of Bav Metzia, is a kinyan. Sounds like it's a kinyan de rabbanon, you know, and it was, you know, invented, you know, to prevent people from, you know, basically, you know, being violent with one another. So the Gemara does seem to say that Dalet Amos works in a get. How can Dalet Amos work in a get if it's only a kinyan de rabbanon? So the Rishonim, again, these are the small vignettes, but you'll see these are massive things. Some of the Rishonim suggest that, you know, the reason is because Yesh koach b'yad kachamin, you know, lakar davar min haTorah. Meaning, you're right, it's drabanan, but it works. However, the Tosas Rid and others say, no, the reason is because Gittin doesn't require kinyanin, it requires nesina. So again, that's, you know, what the Ksos kind of, all those years later, all those centuries later, came up with. Are there two ways to accomplish a get? One through kinyan, one through nesina? What else you know, is included in Nesina. But the idea of Nesina, that it would work, probably doesn't take away from the, you know, colossal, you know, nature of what's happening. Probably the other way. You know, probably the way to look at it is, again, this is like a personal matir kind of a kinyan, and therefore you need Nesina, or Nesina will work. You know, and even when kinyan works, it's a form of Nesina, unless they're just too, you know, too dinim. If, on the other hand, the Gemara does use the expression, the Mishnah uses the expression when it comes to Nisa Sabal, of the Kone, first Mishnah in Kiddushin, you know, Isha Nitnes Begibel Jochen, and Kone Atzma, you know, Beget, right, Uba Misa Sabal. So the language of Kinyan, you know, is applied for sure to a get. On the other hand, it's also applied to Misa Sabal. So the parallel between Misa Sabal and get, you know, something to look at very carefully too, like what the differences are. Are you going to say mida misa sabal nishma? Even a get is just really siluk and hafkos, you know, habal, you know, and then bimela, there's no problem. Or are you going to say the opposite? You know, are you going to say that even misa is kind of a matir, that's mafkia the shei meisasish, not just that they're no baal to be oser. That's a famous discussion that the that we find about, you know, Eishes, you know, Eliyahu, Trumas Hadeshin's discussion of Eishes Eliyahu, because Eliyahu, you know, didn't formally die, but he certainly was, you know, no longer in the marriage. So, like, that's a very popular discussion, first of the Trumas Hadeshin and later. So, you know, how different is Misa Sabal, and what light does Misa Sabal shed on Venasim Biyada? And then, of course, you have Vishilcha Mibeso. So Vishilcha, what's there to say about Vishilcha, Yedidya? Well, first of all, Vishilcha is the usage, I think I mentioned the other day, is particularly, you know, active, you know, and energetic, and acute. Normally it's Vishalcha, right? When you have, you know, a Shilcha usage, it's like, you know, he's not just sending her away, he's throwing her out. Right. And Vishulchan Bibeso, the Gemara says that, you know, she has to be in Vishalechas v'enuchozeres. So again, that, you know, part of the Krisus, or that's part of the Mount here. And that, you know, let's say she's not a Bas Hachi, you know, to be Mekabelis Aget in the sense of Vishulchan Bibeso, like Chareshes or Ktana. So these are very interesting issues. Are they just practical requirements, or no? The whole idea is it's a matir; it's the termination of this ishus. You can't do that to somebody whose mental competence, you know, or where the circumstances are that they're not able to be makabel, or they don't understand, or only delayed do they understand, you know, the effect of the get. So this idea of you know, it has to be betoras gerushin, that she has to be, you know, receiving it that way. All of these things, you know, may very well be, you know, a much part of a broader idea of the matir aspect of it. The nasa biyada also has the connotation of tli gitek, of excluding tli gitek malgabe karka, which we'll talk also about. Tli gitek malgabe karka, you know, because, you know, he's the Megaresh and not her, because it's Bal Korcha, because it's an act of the Baal. She can't have any, you know, part of it. Again, one of the concepts. Is there a parallel of Plikitek Malgabe Karka in Kiddushin and Shtar? Is there a parallel in Get Shechor? Again, these are all questions. And then, of course, Mibeso, I think I mentioned the other day, you know, is the word Beso. Number one, for some Rishonim, chuppa is knisa lebeso. In the sugya, in the beginning of Yuma, you know, beso zu ishto is the reason that a kohen gadol, you know, has to be married. In the way the Rambam formulates at the beginning of chuppa sabonis yom kippurim, it sounds like part of the definition of a kohen gadol. And according to the Rambam shita, not for now, but in Yisurei Biyah, kohen gadol always has to be married, you know, all year round. It's a chiddush of the Rambam. At least the Raita thought it was a chiddush anyway. So the idea of, you know, beso, beso zu ishto, you know, the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, the role of his marriage, the idea that, you know, it's a shilcha and it's mibesa, like, you know, it's like mafkia besa, in a way. So these are like, you know, each word I'm trying to show, and then of course, you know, then you have the matzah grushasa part. Each word is loaded. That's why there's a lot of dinim in, you know, matzaka kitin. And our job is to try to figure out, you know, how narrowly, you know, are these just requirements, and are, you know, they can be chalked up to lesser factors, or is this this massive pattern and this very ambitious idea of being mafkia b'chalos of ishus and creating, you know, from what used to be an eishes ish, you know, a matir and a hefter l'shuk. All these, you know, requirements, all part of the quote unquote because of the sefer kusav v'nasav yada v'shul v'beiso. All of these are things to examine. Okay, having said that, so now let us move to the Gemara, to the last daf in the Masechta, and start with the question of, you know, motivation, iser, mitzvah, you know, what the justifications might be, what the parameters of them are, etc. So let's go through that. Shakla Bataria. Maybe we'll hear from Baruch. Baruch? Right? Yeah. So let's start with that. And then we'll continue with this on Thursday. But on Thursday, I also want to do, I told you, a quick conclusion of the Matzah of Grishasa, because that's pretty much done. But I wanted to see those Mar Makomos inside before we go. Okay. So again, there are two, you know, it's hard to know about the order of Mishnayos and a Masechta. Some Mefarshei HaMishnah and Gemara, zero in on these things, assume that there is significance. Others, you know, think that, you know, less so, or maybe it depends on the Masechta. What the significance is, you know, also very much, is it more, smichos, kind of partios, something logical? Is it something, mnemonic? You know, is it something, conceptual? It's very hard to know how much to attach, to the beginning and end of something. My inclination always is that if there isn't some other obvious explanation, nothing is random. The Masada or Mishnah, Rebbe could have, done whatever he wanted. So, especially some things are curious. Beginning the Masechta with Fanayachdam, maybe get Medina Seyam, is certainly, a little, unexpected, at minimum. Finishing the Masechta, with what seems to be, a very fascinating argument, maybe an question is how important is it, but maybe even a very important argument, also seems very interesting. It could be the crescendo, of Hilchos Gerushin. It's noteworthy, I mentioned the other day, that the Bahag, really begins Hilchos Gerushin, with this question. And, the Shulchan Aruch, the Turin Shulchan Aruch, begin Hilchos Gerushin with this question. The Tosas Shantz, quoted in the also in the Perushim and the Mishnayos, actually has begins the Masechta, even though it's Hamevi Get Medinas Hayom, kind of with this question. I don't know whether that was intentional or not, but he's struck by like the language of Hamevi, which sounds like B'di'eved. It's like, why are we Hamevi Get Medinas Hayom? I think it's a Lashon B'di'eved. Thanks. So he says, why it's B'di'eved? Because, either it's really upsetting, and sad, right? Namely, Matzaba, Ervas, Davar. Or, it's upsetting and sad, because Lo Matzaba Ervas Davar, and he's being Megarisher. So in a way, the first word of the Masechta, according to the Shantz, there's also a reflection of, weighing, you know, is it a mitzvah? Is it an iser? You know, what are the grounds of the gerushin? You know, etc. So there seems to be, you know, in that choice, it's a very logical choice, not so much the word hanevi, but, you know, beginning Kilchos gerushin with the discussion of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, etc., it seems like a very natural, you know, recommendation, which is why we're taking it. It's, you know, striking that the master organizer, you know, of all, you know, halachic literature, you know, otherwise known as the Rambam, you know, that he did not take this approach. And I think I know why, but it's noteworthy, I think, that he did not. Where does the Rambam deal with these issues, Kyle? Yossi? Perek Yud. And the beginning of Perek Yud.
No.
Also not. I mean, similar to what I said about Matsu. What? Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, it's in there. He didn't ignore it. You know, but he certainly didn't highlight it. And what do you think, Yossi? Is that typical of the Rambam or not?
Well, it depends how he formulates. Based on the way he formulates the mitzvah, so it makes a little bit more sense. But
yeah, so that's the theory. Right. In other words, for the Rambam, well, you know, the mitzvah is, and even that isn't really formulated, you know, in a very central way in the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin, you know, but the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvos, and the Koteret is what?
Sheigarish Hamagarish L'Kesiva.
Say again? Sheigarish? The Sefer. Yeah, correct. So what's the emphasis? On the methodology. Not, you know, in this circumstance to be Megarish. Right? Not Me'ava, not Me'sina, not Be'ervas Davar, not Be'er-Be'rasha. Right? That's not the mitzvah according to that. We'll see, according to some Rishonim, that isn't the case. Right? And the simple language of the Shakavataria, which Baruch's going to read for us in just a second, you know, it's, you could easily read that if there's a mitzvah of Gerushin, we're talking about this particular sugya. So for whatever reason, the Rambam thought that this discussion, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, you know, is interesting, but he didn't think it was, you know, pivotal to defining Gerushin, and not even the mitzvah of Gerushin. For the Rambam, the Ikar mitzvah of Gerushin is the need for a sefer. And that's what contrasts it with Ben Noach, right? And as I say, there's a certain parallelism in the Rambam, in that, you know, what is the mitzvah of Kiddushin for the Rambam? Right. So again, if you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Kiddushin, it's not to get married. It's not to do erusin. It's not to do nisuin. Right. If you look carefully in the Rambam, it's what? What's mitzvah, Yossi?
So again, the methodology.
It's the methodology, and it's even clearer because you can still say, oh, you know, the mitzvah is to Lisa. But since the Rambam clearly, I don't want to get to the Rambam here right now, but then the Rambam perfect clearly at the very beginning says what? Ki kachi shisha v'likuchin elu mitzvah saseh. Yeah, before you, when he says the kisha, yeah, when he describes it in the.
Yeah, v'likuchin elu mitzvah saseh shatorayim, v'echad mishol shabar v'ilu isha, making us the kasev or v'shar or v'giyah, v'viyah v'shar v'hator, v'kasev v'hator, 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 v'hator,
before that he says, you know, start from the beginning. That's correct. But just go back to the beginning of it for a second.
So kodem, he starts by Agdama, kodem matan Torah, haya adam pogea isha b'shok, im ratza hu b'i, lisa usa, machisa, sof, b'isa, wala, b'no, b'in asmo, b'kelo isha.
Right. So there, it's clear for the Rambam that what? The mitzvah is not to get married. You might have to get married anyway for the sake of period of Arivia, right? But the mitzvah is when you choose to get married, which maybe you must for other reasons, then to get married, b'derech erusin, Kodem Nisuin, which is the Chiddush of Matan Torah with Eidei Kiv. And if you want a more explicit formulation of this, you can look at Sefer HaChinuch. You know, he makes it even clearer. And this, in my opinion, is the Rambam's pattern in many mitzvos, where he emphasizes the method. Some people thought, when the Rambam did that, that what he was saying is, oh, the mitzvah, there's no really mitzvah, it's more like the Rambam counts in minyan mitzvos matirim. I don't think that's correct. I mean, it might be correct in some cases, but I think the more, you know, the bigger truth is that the Rambam was of the opinion that the singular methodology that is employed in certain halachic institutions reflects what is unique about them and what is a mitzvah about them. We talked about this with Unkulin a couple of years back about Shechita, right? The derech of Shechita. The derech of tshuva, you know, bevidui, since it's, you know, Chodesh Elul. There's also a matter of controversy in that. For the Rambam, the derech of Kiddushin, Konim v'Nesuin, is what underscores what is singular about Kiddushin. By extension, you know, the mitzvah of Gerushin isn't the mitzvah to divorce under this or that circumstance, as it is for some other Rishonim. We'll see that. It is, you know, when you get divorced, if you already are getting divorced, to do it properly, to do it, you know, with all of the proper rigor and protocols, you know, specifically, you know, with a sefer. And based on the Yerushalmi, as I say, that we'll read it inside, but that is a sharp contrast to a Benoach. And in my opinion, based on what we were just discussing, this is so critical, right, precisely because of all the factors, particularly the formalistic and the, and the, you know, a raya part, but even more the matir, you know, part of what Gerushin is. And consequently, the Rambam kind of encountered, you know, this other phrase of mitzvah, you know, the God, which we'll get to in just a second. He saw that, you know, not as, you know, koteret or sefer mitzvah. And by the way, this is what he says in sefer mitzvahs too. You have sefer mitzvahs in front of you? Sorry. Yeah. The Reish of Beis or something? That sound right?
Mr. Reish of Beis, he should see one of the guys for star. Upon him, Kishan Sratza Lagarish.
That's very important.
Right.
Bishtar. Al Kopanim Kishan Sratza Lagarish. So, which I think is also why the Rambam, again, you know, again, in the case of Kiddushin, there's also an edifying aspect of it. Here, the Rambam doesn't even mention it in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph. He has in the Koteret, he has in Sefer Mitzvos, right? It's included in the 10 Devarim, of course, but, you know, again, it has nothing to do with this last sugya. Well, this sugya is about, you know, other thing, what should be a proper motivation. And what's fascinating, so the whole, typically the Rambam begins every section, you know, except when he doesn't, and as, like I said the other day, there's always, you know, a reason for that exception. Because it's an overwhelming, you know, overwhelmingly default, he begins, you know, by, is it Doraisa, is it Rabbanan, you know, is there a mitzvah, what's the mitzvah, you know, etc. He doesn't do that here because, again, you know, it's there's nothing edit. Obviously, it's all, you know, it's all very sad. So, you know, he kind of makes allusion to it, and he has it in Sefer Mitzvos on the Koteret. But what he talks about in Perek, you know, later on, Perek Yud, you know, is a wholly different topic. But that's not true for other Mefarshim. Correct? Okay. So the Rambam certainly is different, and we'll discuss what he says. It's also a symptom of this is that, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but it's even difficult to figure out completely, you know, who the Rambam Paschas is like, you know, in this discussion. Because for him, you know, it's a different kind of discussion. But for other Mefarshim, Right, this is the proper place to begin. So, Baruch, go ahead. Just, I know we have to stop in a couple of minutes, but we'll, let's just get our feet wet at least. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay, so how would you characterize the three views? Correct. Again, which is more Makil, Rabbi Akiva or Beis Hillel? That's an interesting question, right? In a way, I guess, you know, Beis Hillel sounds like more trivial, and Rabbi Akiva sounds, you know, more hashgafically, in a way, you know, offensive a little bit, right? I'm not saying it is, because we need to understand it, obviously. I mean, I already mentioned the other day what I think is really going on. But, okay. But certainly it sounds like Beis Shammai, if you have to characterize it superficially, you would say Beis Shammai is machmir, right, in the enduring quality of the marriage, right? And therefore you can only get out of that marriage. The only exit strategy, you know, is betrayal. You know, anything less is not an excuse. Not an excuse and not a get, or just not an excuse. That's not clear, right? And Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel are much more flexible about getting out. Doesn't mean they think that the marriage is more trivial, but getting out of a marriage at least is easier, and maybe the factor of davarship kedusha doesn't enter into, right, the propriety of that. I've suggested already yesterday that there may be a totally different way to look at it, and that is that the easier exit strategy, you know, and actually you know, the exit itself may be a function of like investing in the quality of kedusha and relationship in a marriage. Okay, so we'll see about that. Okay, let's just go through the Gemara quickly, and then we'll break it down. Go ahead, Tanya. Yeah. Oh, so that makes sense. Meaning, even Beis Hillel is agreeing that what? That in the hierarchy, well, you certainly could have thought that the only way to get out of a marriage, the only way to justify leaving a marriage, is if there is a breakdown in a fundamental way, right, a betrayal of the marriage contract. Okay? So we're not surprised at that. I mean, certainly the position of Beis Shammai, even if you don't paskin that way, if you don't, is a very understandable position. In a way, it's like more, you know, initially appealing, you know, than Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. So basically, Beis Hillel is saying, yes, I would have thought that. Okay. The question is, Kach Nemar Davar, and now the question for us is more, so, you know, it's either Erva or Davar and never the twain shall meet, or, you know, a person who wants to end his marriage because of Ikdicha Tafshilo. You know, I wouldn't say Ein Lecha Erva Gedola Mizu, but I would say, you know, Gamzu, you know, Ervahi. Okay. Maybe. Right. Keep going. Oh, now that is a fascinating Havam. What do you think about that? What? What's he saying, factually? You would have thought that if a woman committed erva, an act of betrayal in a marriage, that she would be excluded from marrying anyone. Meaning that it's not only her husband that she betrayed, but she would have like a shame, zona, mina efes, whatever it is, and that would be a psul across the board. Correct? A very interesting havamina. Kach nemar, Erbas, but it kind of makes you wonder a little bit, right? Okay, good. Very interesting how about me to freeze, anyway. Yeah. And would have been, just one more point, she wouldn't have been able to marry anybody and the get wouldn't, and the kiddushin wouldn't be chal? Or it would be Be'isar. What?
Why would it be different than remarrying her husband?
Than Sota.
Yeah.
Because in the case of Sota, she's already married to him. What?
You divorced.
Okay, I mean, Masu Gushasa, the Kedushin is Chal. I mean, are we saying that the Kedushin wouldn't be Chal in a Mina Efes in the Havamina, or are we saying that it would be Asar? That's what I'm asking. So I think Rashi here, what does Rashi say? Who the Kam Rachman would terribly not say, Lacher? What does it sound like? Yeah. But it doesn't sound like the Kedushin wouldn't be Chal. In the Gemara, you could say the Kedushin wouldn't have been Chal. Like she has a shame, Bogedes or Mina Efes or whatever, and Kedushin's not Chal. It's like Chai Bekrisis or something. Even though she's not Chai Bekrisis. Right? Okay. So that's something to think about. Okay, as an interesting happening. Go ahead. So that is the shita of, that's Beis Shammai. So the Beis Shammai actually require Shnayim Edim for a get, or does it just require Shnayim Edim for... you know, for purposes of onshim and so on. Also question. Not so clear. I mean, Beis Shammai are telling you something about Shnayim Edim here. Correct?
Sure.
I mean, let's say the guy knows that his wife betrayed him, but he doesn't have Shnayim Edim. Would that be grounds for a divorce according to Beis Shammai? Okay, so we'll see. We'll discuss that. That's an interesting, within Beis Shammai, that's an interesting question. Okay, go ahead. Ube Silel. Okay, good. I'm going to stop here because we have to stop. We'll pick up with Rabbi Kiva. So far we have Beis Silel, Beis Shammai. We had an interesting Hav Amina that maybe you know, Matzah Ba'Ervas Davar would be either Asura Linase to anyone, or maybe Kiddushin wouldn't be Tofes for anyone. That's not clear. And then we also have an interesting question, and that is, do you need Edim, right, for Beis Shammai? Or Beis Shammai is just saying two different things, right? They're saying in order to legally do certain other, you know, to impose the onshim you need, you know, Eidos, not necessarily, or he would need Eidos if he didn't know himself, maybe. Well, what are the parameters of Yedia and Eidos for Beis Shammai? Okay, so those are two questions to think about. Beis Hillel also is sympathetic to Beis Shammai. We also saw that in the sense of drawing the line. They're expanding. Are they expanding because you can get out of the marriage for whatever reason you want? Or, you know, that hierarchy remains, just that he's more expansive about applying Davar Shebe'er. Davar Shebe'er doesn't just mean betrayal. Davar Shebe'er means when the relationship, you know, is halachically, you know, deeply flawed and compromised. Okay? Okay, good. So let's stop here for the moment, and we'll continue with the Shacharitaria Thursday, and we'll also try to get the Masha B'Shacharitaria.